uranium, 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 I'm gonna dig this to boy.
Welcome back to the show, Evan Bray. Good to have you here. Well, we know that Saskatchewan is moving ever closer to a nuclear future. That is part of the energy transition that this province has in its sights. It's something you and I have talked about a lot. SaskPower continuing to work on small modular reactors. And just this week, the University of Saskatchewan announced a new partnership with the International Atomic Energy Agency to expand nuclear research and training. So a lot of the conversation that we have is focus on reactors and technology. We talk about uranium mining, but there's a new opinion piece that I just read that argues the real challenge is people. Who's going to build these facilities? Who's going to operate them, regulate them, keep them running? If Saskatchewan wants to be ready for construction in a decade from now, this opinion piece says we need to start building the workforce now. Eric Henningsmoen is a senior research and policy analyst with the Information and Communications Technology Council. He co-authored Saskatchewan's Nuclear Future Starts with Talent, and I'm happy to say we've connected with Eric Henningsmoen today by phone. Eric, thank you so much for joining the program.
Hi, Evan. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm really happy to be here.
So your article argues that Saskatchewan's biggest nuclear challenge may not be building the reactor, but actually building the workforce. Can you tell me what you mean by that?
Yeah. So Western Canada has never had a nuclear workforce before. Now, Saskatchewan has been heavily involved in, for example, uranium mining in the past. It's actually one of the major jurisdictions for mining uranium in the entire world, but it's never actually operated in Western Canada, including Saskatchewan, a civil nuclear energy program. So it's going to take some work to provide the skilled professionals, the tradespeople, the technologists, the scientists, the engineers to run, operate, build, and as mentioned, regulate these facilities. If Saskatchewan wants to build one of these reactors and deploy in the 2030s, I think the timeline's about around 2035, they actually need to start thinking about labor force and start that training process right now.
You rattle off a few jobs there, but when you talk about workforce, who are we talking about? Is it engineers and electricians? Is it welders? Is there, you know, computer scientists? Give us a picture of the kinds of jobs, the scope of jobs that need to be prepared for this transition.
Oh, gosh. One of the exciting things about the nuclear energy sector is there is such a need for talent from a variety of fields, from nuclear engineers and different scientists like physicists that'll design and operate facilities to nuclear operator roles and different technician roles. And even things like security guards are super important. And then when we think of the workforce needed to build it, there's so many. There's like pipe fitters, plumbers, industrial electricians, boiler makers. I have a list of like dozens of skilled trades that are needed alone just to build these facilities and then maintain them throughout their life cycle. So it's a huge opportunity for people from all walks of life. It's an exciting opportunity for like what you might call a highly qualified workforce. Those are people with things like master's, PhDs that would become like nuclear physicists or nuclear engineers, as well as people with their trade certification, like the Red Seal, to work in these facilities or work on these facilities, either directly for a utility or as a contractor, keeping them maintained and building them.
We're chatting today with Eric Henningsmoen, who is Senior Research and Policy Analyst with Information and Communications Technology Council. You mentioned early on, Eric, that Saskatchewan's got a lot of experience in mining, oil and gas, heavy industry. I wonder about the portability of that workforce into the nuclear sector. Is that a thing? And on that, I remember sitting in on a presentation one day, there's a lot of separate accreditation that has to happen in the nuclear sector. So clearly there would be some training involved. It's not a simple straight across transition.
Yeah, absolutely. So a study we did, it was covering both Saskatchewan and Alberta. Alberta is also interested in getting on the SMR, though they're way behind you guys. But yeah, there's a lot of certifications, training, ISO certifications that need to take place. That being said, you don't need fully certified to work in all parts of the nuclear power plant. The most certifications take place inside the nuclear island. That's where the reactors are actually operating. But any supporting facilities and other infrastructure that's surrounding it, certification requirements could be quite lighter and a lot easier for folks or contractors to get involved in. When it comes to things like contractors that are getting involved, there's a few years ago, Prairie's CAN federal agency did a study, and they found about almost 80% of supply chain needs of SMR reactors could actually be serviced in Western Canada, in Alberta and Saskatchewan. It already has the industrial workforce to do it. Evan, you mentioned like oil and gas workers, heavy manufacturing, which Western Canada is actually very well prepared for, very skilled at, as well as mining. A lot of these technically minded folks in things like skilled trades, engineering, different types of technicians and scientists, they can be retrained for the nuclear industry. So it's not just about bringing in new workers, students to graduate from these different programs and be brought into the industry. Current workers, say, working in oil and gas and is looking to do a change or some kind of shift in their career, they could become nuclear energy workers. Actually, Ontario Tech, which is a big university on Ontario with a strong capabilities in training nuclear energy professionals, they actually have a Bridgeway program where you take a micro-credential, say if you're an oil and gas engineer, and it prepares you to work in the nuclear industry, just get those additional skills and additional knowledge you need to make that transition. Actually, one of the interesting things about jurisdictions like Alberta and Saskatchewan is the safety culture. So obviously, nuclear energy has to be done very safely, and there's a very strong safety culture in that industry. But when you think of it, sectors such as oil and gas also have a very strong safety culture, and there's a lot of overlap between those. So there can be a very workforce transition, can be created maybe not easily, but, you know, there's some great pathways.
Eric Henningsmoen is my guest, Senior Research and Policy Analyst, Information and Communications Technology Council. It feels to me, and I'm just, this is just an observational statement, that it's not a clean transition. Like, you don't have oil and gas workers one day transitioning tomorrow to become nuclear, because it's not turn off one switch and turn on the other. There will be overlap in this transition. So is there a way that the provincial government can prioritize certain jobs that need to be brought on board first in kind of the journey towards nuclear transition?
Yeah, absolutely. If I was the provincial government, and I think this is happening in the background to some extent, start looking at different trades. Obviously, they're not only applicable to nuclear, but, you know, people like electricians or plumbers or welders work throughout the economy in Saskatchewan. But start thinking about how many more seats at SAS Polytechnic and other colleges and polytechnics you'll need to train that workforce to build and operate these plants, and what kind of demand that might look like, as well as look at retraining opportunities for current oil and gas workers or other energy workers. As you mentioned, that's not always straightforward and easy, but start making those pathways available. And then also think about what kind of programs you need at the Polytechnic, as well as the university level, such as the University of Saskatchewan, training this highly qualified scientific and engineering talent, and developing new programs around things like nuclear engineering.
Eric, how much of this should fall on the shoulders of industry? If I look at, you know, potash, for example, and I'm going to use Mosaic as an example, because they have developed great training programs and outreach, even at the high school level, to develop future employees. So it is not uncommon in industry to focus their energy and efforts at training. Should that, what expectations should we put on the nuclear industry in regard to training of future employees?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say they're a key stakeholder. When I think about this stuff and how it kind of can be structured at a high level, there's sort of this trifecta of the industry itself, government, which sort of sets the tone, the regulation in some direction, as well as the post-secondary institutions, including universities, colleges, polytechnics. And they all need to be talking together, right? Ultimately, a university polytechnic, they can start moving in a direction, but it's all up to the government to provide program funding, to provide approvals for post-secondaries to launch new programs. And it's also up to industry to help fund them, to help signal to the universities, polytechnics, that the skills are in demand and that the graduates will find gainful employment at the end of their studies. So it really does require some coordination and cooperation between all these different actors to make a workforce development possible, particularly as in the case of nuclear, when it's just starting to go and there's not decades of experience and prior connections. You're building everything almost from scratch in a way.
Mm-hmm. Eric Henningsmoen is my guest. Do we have a blueprint or some best practices that we can glean from places like Ontario, who have been using nuclear power for quite some time? Lots of countries over in Europe. There's lots of places that nuclear power is further down the road than we are here in the province. Anything we can learn from that?
Yeah, it's actually interesting. So Ontario, as you mentioned, it's has decades of experience operating nuclear energy. It's actually one of Canada's very advanced nuclear power, but it's all centered in Eastern Canada, currently in Ontario and a bit in New Brunswick. But if you look at the education infrastructure that goes into the workforce training, you'll have multiple programs throughout universities and colleges in Ontario, places like McMaster, places like Ontario Tech, places like Algonquin College, that train different types of workers at different levels to participate in these facilities. So making sure that pipeline is available. It's interesting, though, with SMRs, no one in the G7 has implemented SMRs yet. And Ontario is actually currently building them, and they'll be likely be the first small modular reactors operating in the G7. So as Saskatchewan contemplates its own SMR deployment, it can actually learn a lot from Ontario's experience, because they're going through this right now while they're also renewing and expanding their conventional nuclear energy sector. Now, the federal government, they just put out a nuclear energy strategy a few weeks ago, and they're calling for the nuclear energy workforce in Canada, which is somewhere around 98,000 people, mostly in Ontario. They want to double it by 2040. So there's so much recruitment and training that's going to need to take place throughout Canada, including in Western Canada, in Saskatchewan, in Alberta, if they want to deploy these technologies.
We're pretty much out of time, Eric, but just very quickly, if we fail to train adequately now for something that we need in about 10 years, is there a risk that we're looking at bringing people into our province to do these jobs as opposed to filling them with people from right here?
Yeah, there. You would, if you don't have the people trained, you would need to bring them from out of province. But I would suggest that could actually be very difficult in 10 years. If you look at Ontario's training system, the federal government wants to expand, double the size of the workforce. These institutions are going to be working at full tilt to train new nuclear energy professionals. And a lot of that workforce will be consumed in Ontario as they work on expanding their nuclear sector. If you look overseas, that could also be difficult to recruit for, because there's a renewed interest in the United States, certain countries in the European Union, the UK, even China. They're expanding their nuclear. So nuclear energy professionals within Canada and globally could become very in demand and quite scarce in 10 years.
It's a great discussion, Eric. I appreciate you joining us on the show. Thanks for your time today.
Yeah, thank you so much, Evan.
Eric Henningsmoen, Senior Research and Policy Analyst, Information and Communications Technology Council. Again, his piece is called Saskatchewan's Nuclear Future Starts with Talent. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.